You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And hello everyone and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. It's a bye weekend leading into finals edition of the Super Footy Podcast. And instead of being joined by Mick and Sam, those of us watching on Facebook Live will see that there's no Mick this week. It's two Sams instead. Sam Edman.
Good to be here, Hutto.
Sam Landsberger joining us.
With Sam Landsberger here and Mick putting them into the rough down at Barnbooga, we've taken 20 years off our average age here, it's good to have a bit of youth.
Yes.
Bit of a rebuild.
Yeah. We've got a youth policy here, something that the Tigers clearly have suffered from, because it is a bit of a... I mean, I'm glad you're here, Sam. It's fantastic to have you on board, but it's a pity we don't have Mick here.
It is.
Just to totally...
But instead of talking about old man's things, we can talk about Tinder and all the things that Sammy Landsberger's into and Happen and all those things that he's just showed me before on his phone, which are weird and wonderful.
Move on, Sam.
Okay. What a big day it's been, though. No.
It is like, it's like when I first started in footy journalism, the old boardroom spill, which we just don't see these days. And from a media point of view, they're fantastic.
They're talked of all the time. There's a lot of smoke, very little fire. But finally, we've got some fire. And, Sammy, I don't know what you think, but I'm a confused man sitting here about what the heck's going on down there.
Didn't seem to have a lot of substance, did it?
No. That's the word, substance, I think, is what it lacked.
The focus on footy is what they're calling it, or that's their brand, and yet they're calling it focus on footy, but they want to keep Hardwick, they want to keep Brendan Gale, and they want to keep Dan Richardson. What the heck? It seems as though it's all staked on getting one man, Neil Barr, and they haven't actually spoken to him yet.
Bizarre how that unfolded. I think this morning, when we heard the news that there was the ticket being launched, we all thought the same thing. It's trouble for Dimmer.
Mm.
I mean, the club's ticking every box off the field. Record membership, no debt.
Yep.
The only change you'd think they want to make is Dimmer, but they want to keep him. I'm confused.
Yep. And that Neil Barn position, Hutto, is a new position they have envisaged. CEO of football,
CEO
I think it is.
CEO of football. That's, in fact, a strange title.
It was very odd.
CEO of football. What does that mean?
It started off with them saying, basically...
By the way, I'm the self-appointed CEO of the podcast, just in case you were wondering.
Six messages are out for me. I mean, it started off with them saying, never has a season promised so much but delivered so little. And then only a matter of minutes later, them saying, we could see this coming from 18 months out. We've got a thin list. We could see it happening. So, you know, what is it? I mean, throughout there was confusion for mine.
The laughable part of it all is they say they want Neil Barm, and then... A journalist texts Neil Barm during the press conference saying, what's this about? Neil Barm says, I want nothing to do with it. That's put back on them, and they say, oh, well, we haven't spoken to him yet, but we think we'll get him. It just seemed like amateur hour.
Jeez.
And look, it is extremely difficult, because what they've identified, I think we can all see, is the recruiting has been, you know, and development. And they're the two things that have to be tied together, and it's one of the hardest things to do is to try and pull that apart. But there is no doubt their recruiting and a lot of their philosophy of their recruiting has been poorly executed.
I mean, you only have to look at last week. Reece Conker, all the talk about him, he was taking two picks before Dion Prestia, who now the Tigers are hoping to get in. Ben Lennon requested a trade last week.
Gone.
Taking the pick before Patrick Cripps. There's just so many skeletons in the closet from that point of view.
Vickery, pick eight, wasn't
it? Yes, gone.
Just on Ben Lennon, would you let him go?
Yeah, I don't think he's got a great relationship with a few people there. I mean, yeah, you just have to look at the opportunities he's got this year. Yeah. Tim has said we'll float the iceberg late in the year and play all the kids below the line, which we haven't seen, and he came in for 1 week and got dropped.
Yeah, I mean, that was odd in itself. Obviously, he had some injury troubles as well this year. Mm. But, I mean, he showed a little bit, and then they dropped him from that. Maybe he's never recovered from that, but...
I'll be amazed, actually, Hutto, if we're sitting here in weeks and months' time, which you won't be, we'll be sunning ourselves somewhere. But next year, talking about a new Richmond border, I just can't see it happening.
But they'll get that. If they only need 100 signatures or whatever, they'll
sure,
get
that. Sure, it might go to an election. Fine. But I can't see them getting all. Not seven that they're proposing anyway.
There's a lot going wrong on Richmond, but I don't think Peggy Neal is one of is in that list of issues.
What happens if they have the this election and then some of them get in and some of them don't? Then you've got a mixed board and a and a bit of a disaster.
That might not be a bad thing, you know, because I'm all for the, a lot of people are for the fresh blood approach. And I think when you've got people on there that have been on there for such a long period of time, things can get stale, you get conservative and you're thinking maybe some fresh blood at board level wouldn't be the worst thing, but bloody or bloodless they want it to be, but I've never seen a bloodless coup, Hutto. I don't know about
you. It's a bloodless coup. We want to get rid of...
Yes, you're gone. So we're coming in.
We want to get rid of all of you, but then we're going to keep all those that are underneath
go
you.
Go quietly.
Do you think? Do you really think they want to keep Dimmer, though? Do you really think
well,
they want
to
do that?
Well, the wording was they will commit to the 2 years of his contract.
Yeah.
So that would suggest, if recent history is anything, that he's on thin ice, given the results. But... yeah, I don't think they can stake their bid, if I can call it that term, on keeping him and then turn around and sack him.
Well, would they be? Would they not have been better off actually saying, ultimately, Damien Hardwick has to hold?
Well, that's
has
what
to
I'm
be
saying.
Responsible for
there's,
this.
There's no. This is the focus on footy, and the three pillars of a footy club are supposedly safe.
Yeah, put your cards on the table. It's Dimmer next year is massive. That's the story for Richmond next year. Every game, every week that ticks by next year, the focus is going to be on the coach.
Nathan Buckley as well.
Colin. Correct, yeah.
Big year for those guys. But while they squabbled, Hutto, there was a pretty big game at the Witten Oval on the weekend.
There was a big game at the Witten Oval, and it rated higher than any other Saturday night for the year in the home and away, which is a great line and a great achievement. Now, you're going to... have you got something to say?
Look, it brings me to my, is it just me? And look, I actually was one of the many, many thousands who tuned in, and I watched it with my wife, Harriet. We actually really enjoyed the game, and I've been to a few games live, and it does shock you when you see it for the first time, just the level of skill that's on show, especially in an exhibition game like this where you've got all the great players playing with and against each other. However, I wonder if this record-breaking ratings figure was fueled more by curiosity than what it is by actual long-term substance. Now, I'm not denigrating the game in any way. I'm sure it'll be a raging success come February, but I wonder if there was a bit of first-time factor about it. I know there's been games before, but now we've got the league coming. It's starting in February. We've got a draft coming up. It's all big. We've got
there's no doubt
it had
the
clubs.
It had the clear airspace on the weekend.
But clear air.
But those numbers are phenomenal. To have a peak of over a million watching that game is... other sports would dream of getting those sort of numbers.
But instead of being the platform to go up from here, my belief, just a belief, just a theory, is that the figures will come back.
Oh, they have
surely
to come back. Look, the reality is, I would argue, I would question severely February and March whether people are going to want to watch footy at that time of the year.
There's still cricket on.
Yeah, I mean...
A-League cricket, holidays, beach.
When they've made the plans, I don't think they at all would have thought they were going to get even numbers like that on the weekend. So their aims and they would be much more realistic than thinking that they're going to get roll out those sort of numbers. But the numbers are incredible, and I think you can make any excuse or reason for them, but you have to actually celebrate and say they are an incredible achievement.
In terms of the product, I think we all marvelled at what they put out on Saturday night, but we have to remember as well, this was the best of the best, and next year they're going to be split across eight teams. So it's a reduction of four times the quality.
Yeah, talent dilution, is what you're saying? Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I really like what they've done with the experimentation of the rules, 16 aside, and I think that's going to be a good... it's a bit of a window to see whether that could potentially work elsewhere down the track.
Did you go in that hard when you played footy, Hutto? They went in pretty hard, these women. Were you just as ferocious
am
at the contest?
Am I allowed to lie or not? I think as a father of three girls who love their sport and play netball and soccer at the moment, and the oldest is 10, she declared to me the other day she wants to play for Geelong, who don't even have a team at the moment. But it is fantastic for them to have that opportunity. We can't have the expectations at a ridiculous height, whatever. But I absolutely agree with you on the point of the standard with when you divide it into eight. But what we also need to factor in is that they'll now go into a much more professional environment. Yeah, physically, you would think they would make significant gains not sure how much by February next year, but certainly by the time the season comes around the next time,
no doubt.
I think you would have, it'll have a huge impact.
I think that's a great point. I watched the MCG exhibition game, I think round 7 last year, and in 18 months since then, the standard had lifted considerably. So I think you're right. The gains I'll make will be huge.
And haven't they got some marketable stars? We know all about Daisy Pierce, but Moana Hope, who's got a great backstory and was awesome on Australian Story. If you haven't seen it, get on online and have a look at it. Amazing backstory, great relationship with Sue Alberti, who Sammy knows at the Western Bulldogs, of course. 6 goals on the weekend. He's got the sleeves, so naturally she's playing for Collingwood.
Yeah.
And I just think you could build a game and a league around her in the early days.
A prize for 4 kicking goals for the Dogs. Yeah. I don't think that's the last time we'll say that in the next couple of years.
Tone it down.
Finding a way to work with the Dogs.
Yeah, but hasn't women's footy moved quickly, though? I mean, we've already got espionage now as well. We've already got theft taking place. So, I mean, IP being stolen. So it moves quickly, this league, it would seem, with Carlton.
Yeah, well, tell us about that story while you're on.
Yeah, well, it was a strange one. It broke late yesterday that Carlton put out a statement saying they were investigating with an eye to complaining or lodging a complaint with Victoria Police. They say that someone snuck into Icon Park, that's the Princess Park for us older listeners, if you like, on Saturday night and literally took a photo of a whiteboard with some women players recruiting targets, I suppose you would do, because they've got to formulate a list of 25 before the draft or after the draft. So took this photo, appeared on a fan forum website, then onto Facebook. Carlton became aware of it, shut it down. So how, why, all those questions that remain up in the air at the moment. Very strange.
That seems significant. I mean, that's if you've got a club's draft order or recruitment plans before the draft takes place, that has to compromise their ability to compete next year.
It begs the question, why didn't they just walk a bit further down the hallway and walk into Steve Silvani's office? There would have been a few names on that one.
C. Marchbank.
Sure. That's right, C. Marchbank, yeah.
While we're talking about the weekend, I want to do my Is It Just Me? Is it just me, or have the critics of the weekend off gone too hard too early?
No. I've got splinters up my bottom on this one. I've got to be honest. I wax and wane. I don't think it's been a great momentum killer, just my opinion. I think Sammy might be different. I think the ticket sales for the 4 finals have been extremely strong, and in a matter of 24, 48 hours, we'll never talk about the buy again.
I'd be concerned if you're West Coast. You've won 9 of the past 10 games. You just want to keep playing. I spoke to Simon Mannon about this last week, who played in the 1990 grand final, and the draw in that final series meant they had to wait 2 weeks to play the game.
But they were the only team that did that, though, weren't they?
Correct, but this is the closest replica we've seen for that. I think
rested players as well, though, in the week.
Yeah.
In their last round, so that compounded it.
Yeah, Simon's talking nonsense.
He was basically saying you can't get form on the training track. You have to get it from games, and when you run out, you need to be able to access your short term memory to remember what you're doing well to reproduce it.
I can't remember how to kick Mark.
He got very scientific. He said, if you go too long without
now
playing,
he's talking rubbish. Oh. But Ardo, you've got a concern that's been raised before, sorry Sammy, about the preliminary finals.
Yeah, well, and that's sort of what you're referring to. And I absolutely concede that, and I think we have to wait and see as to the effect that has, and I think that's the most legitimate concern. But people talking about the loss of momentum, I just don't agree with that. I'm not necessarily the right person to judge this. I'll concede that, because it's nice to have a weekend off and reconnect with the family. And yeah, I took the girls down to Geelong to their open training session. And I think everyone's been able to do that a little bit.
We're talking about women's footy, and the NRL had a record ratings figure as well, and the Storm got a great crowd. So all those things have been made possible.
AFL don't want the Storm.
It's in the melting pot. Should the two preliminary finalists, the teams that win the qualifying finals, not make the grand final, I think all hell will break loose.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I think
who it is. If it's Hawthorn, then we'll all just celebrate.
It's already on the agenda for the coaches. It'll either be the reason they win or the reason they lose.
No doubt.
You cannot win.
Yeah, anyway. That's very true. It's going to be interesting to see what becomes of it and how much dialogue there is after that, or even through this week. But I think there's no doubt that we are excited about what should be 4 fantastic finals. Starting with the Bulldogs, let's turn our attention to the games and we'll talk some trade stuff shortly. Oh, by the way, just on the women's, other sports, how do you think other women's sports, like netball, are going to cope with AFL?
They'd have to be concerned. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the threat of poaching talent is huge.
Which we've seen already. They've gone after the Matildas players, which we wrote about in the Herald Sun recently. Well, we've seen it in the guys. We've seen the boys turn their backs on cricket, on basketball, on soccer, on every manner of sport.
There's a little bit of a halo effect on women's sport in general, though, that it actually helps.
Yeah, no doubt.
We had 16,000 people yesterday at Australia, New Zealand, and packed, you know, a terrific netball exhibition there. So, but I think the talent thing is, as I said, being
16,000?
Yep.
That's a big crowd, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a massive crowd.
Wow.
That's what someone said anyway. I don't know. That's more than, maybe it's not quite 16. Anyway, whatever it was
it's 16 now.
Don't back away from it, though.
And, look, those sports have made some gains, and the whole, as I said, a bit of a halo effect around the rest of women's sports will be a positive. But in terms of the talent, that's where the question's going to be.
Thursday night, Hutto.
Yep.
Talk us through it.
Well, I mean, I've seen a fair bit of West Coast at Subi this year, and that's there's obviously a couple of factors at play here. I saw the Dogs a week and a half ago, and they couldn't have been worse over there. But if they do get a couple of players back, and they can't, well, the question will be, what sort of chance do they take on how many of those blokes can they bring in, first of all?
No, I remember famously Grant Thomas, I think it was after the 2006 elimination final, really regretted playing into players in September. It's a massive call for Bevo. I think Dale's...
He's almost got no choice in this case.
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
Well...
You roll the dice,
the
don't you?
The players he's got aren't going to... Not everyone. You can't risk all of them. And there's certainly a question of how many and what their injury is. You don't play players who can't perform close to their best. But we saw what the other lot were able to do, which was not much against Freo 10 days ago. So Easton Wood, you'd think, would definitely come back in.
Yep. Yeah, Roughhead, you think, will play.
In, Roughhead.
Yeah,
they're certain.
What about Liberal or McRae? You take a chance on one of those?
Geez, they're important players. I'll go back to the game they got injured. The Dogs were down in Geelong on a Friday night. Liberal was toweling up Patrick Dangerfield. I think he had 19 disposals halfway through the second quarter. And the Dogs were in front on the scoreboard. He went off and the game changed. Massive, massive selection there. I think if Liberal plays, the Dogs' chances of winning rise significantly.
So it's all about pain tolerance, we're led to believe. The syndesmosis, it's not about... it can worsen, we're told.
Well, Mark Murphy, he had the same injury this year. Did he? You know, how long did he miss?
It's, he only played 10 games, so I don't think they saw him until after, round 12 or 11.
Liber went down round 19 from memory, so that's what, 5 weeks. It's a massive call. Is it just me, is on Luke Beveridge in this game. I think he can't lose in terms of Jake Stringer. If Stringer comes in and kicks 5, Bevo's a genius for what he did. If Stringer struggles, which he might well do, Bevo says, "Oh well, what was I meant to do? I had him in the VFL."
I don't know. If he comes in and struggles, maybe it would have been better if he either no hadn't continuity. Dropped in at all or just brought him back after 1 week.
You've got to bring a player in who's a match. He's a match defining player.
He will play.
He can turn a game. So. I just, the form line on with you, Hutto, are you heading over for this one?
No, I'm not actually. Okay. Which actually leads me to something that is quite funny, or I'm not sure if it's funny or right, but I was going to do the Richmond Best and Fairest. I was going to host the Richmond Best and Fairest. But once the finals fixture came out, or once we knew for sure that the AFL were going to fixture a Thursday night game, I had to withdraw because I was going to have to work on Thursday night footy. So I had to say, no, I can't do it anymore. And as it turns out, I'm not actually doing that game. So I reckon I've dodged a massive bullet.
Fair enough. Well, I've got the pleasure of going over to Perth and just having a look at the form line. Sammy, what is it? The last 7 by an average of just under 10 goals, the defeats over there for the Western Bulldogs. So they're going a day before this time we're here. Not 2 days before, less time for thinking, less time
too much downtime around 23.
Yeah,
eat too much.
Yeah,
it's a bit like when we get here early for the Super Footy podcast. I'm hanging around the hotel.
Next thing you know, we've had a few too many. We're fighting.
Mick gets us into, it's a bit like that.
So, look, West Coast, raging favourites. But
can the Dogs stop Kennedy and the rest
of the plays on Kennedy?
This is the big one. When the Dogs beat the Eagles in round 11, Kennedy had his worst game for the year, 1 goal, and the bloke who blanketed him that day is Marcus Adams, and he's not playing. So, big loss there. It's going to have to be Dale Morris, isn't it? With, chopped out from Fletcher Roberts and Joel Hamling, but
conceding a bit of size and...
reckon it will be Morris.
Oh, him or Fletcher Roberts, probably. But it's certain. I mean, Marcus Adams was the perfect matchup, so I think his absence will be... It's a big loss.
Not for the first time this year, the Dogs.
No.
Are we believers in the Eagles? Are we believers that they are a totally different unit now and all that sort of stuff?
No, still not convinced.
My theory on this game is that the winner has a massive chance to play in a preliminary final because of the form of Hawthorn. I'm really worried about their final month of the year. If they get through and the Cats roll the Hawks, they'll have an extra day's break and they'll get the Hawks at the G. I think that the prize here is pretty big and it's a real big chance to go deep.
But West Coast can't beat Hawthorn at the MCG, can they? We've got pretty definitive proof of that.
Jeez, well, I reckon they'd love another crack.
No, they would. They would. I certainly think the Dogs are good enough to win over there and then maybe get McRae and or they would give themselves a real chance of playing and beating Hawthorn.
No, they wouldn't complain.
It might be Geelong, though. Let's not get carried
away. Yes, true.
Put the cart before the horse.
What about that Geelong-Hawthorn game, Mato? How are you feeling, mate?
No, I'm always nervous when it comes to Hawthorn. And it does. I mean, people have sort of said, "Oh, look, you know, Geelong may not have Henderson and Colajasny," almost in one sentence, and as if that doesn't matter. I think it does matter. I think even though Hawthorn don't have the height.
It won't hurt them in this game.
How high is the fear factor?
It's a great question. It's high for the supporters.
Mm.
I don't know how much it is. I don't get the feeling it's massively high for the teams that have played against them. But I think where it's high is if they haven't put them away. If it's under two goals, heading
six
into the last quarter.
Six and zip, games under 9 points.
See, that smells of Geelong in 2014 for me. Lots of close wins, scrape into the top four, and then out in straight sets.
Yeah. No, that's every chance that could happen, but there's also every chance
This is Hawthorn in September on the G. I actually haven't lost a final there since Sydney in 2012, the grand final.
So wow.
It's like slaying the dragon. They're not dead until they're dead. It's like Chucky off Child's Play. They'll come at you with one arm, one leg, a face hanging off, and they'll still get the win. I'll believe it when I see it.
The contested footy is big. Hawthorn's been dodging it all year, winning despite getting thrashed in that number every week. I think the West Coast game they lost a couple of weeks ago, they really got exposed and it hurt them. It's coming up against Dangerfield and Selwood. If the Cats get on top of the contested footy... Dangerwood.
Yeah.
Or it could spell trouble for the Hawks.
And what do they do about Sam Mitchell? Surely Scott Selwood will finally see a hard tag put on Sam Mitchell for an entirety of a game.
What about Paul Chapman's column in the Saturday Herald Sun suggesting that Jimmy should tag him?
Quickly scotched by the coach.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I think if Scott Selwood comes in, then that would be his role. They've got some selection issues, the Cats, though. It's good selection issues. Obviously, if those two players don't come up, they might be able to reshuffle a little bit. But does a Jed Buse play with the view that he might be needed in some other game? I'd say probably not. But he would certainly probably come in for an Adelaide game because he's done the job on Eddie Betts. Hawthorn do have those huge number of small forwards. So he may well be contended to come in. You can't drop Sam Menengola for mine. I think he's been one of the form players. It's going to be very interesting to see who actually misses out.
Someone's going to be mightily stiff there. The promoter's dream. Sydney GWS. I love this game on paper. To me, it's probably the second best final of the weekend. Sydney, the last team they would have wanted to play.
Are you going back to Adelaide on your way home from Perth?
No, I'll be coming straight back to Melbourne. That's tempting, but no.
What about you, Sammy? I'll
be at the MCG on Friday night.
I'm going to Adelaide. I'm just looking to see who else is travelling.
Won't be in the lounge with you.
No. Sydney and GWS.
Well, I mean, Sydney, the last team they would have wanted to play up there, I think it's fair to say, is probably GWS.
No doubt.
The last team GWS wanted to play up there is obviously Sydney. It's at ANZ Stadium. That's the only negative about the whole thing. I reckon the
Giants would be happy to play the Swans. No.
Yeah, oh, we'll get some. Well,
you wouldn't rather the home field advantage.
Well, hang on,
no, they're fourth, and they don't have to travel.
They wouldn't get the home field advantage otherwise. Sorry, and I reckon they would fancy themselves. I know they smashed them in the preseason.
Split.
They beat them comfortably when the Giants played poor, but Sydney played very well in that first time they met, and then they were way too good for them the second time.
It's going to be fascinating to see. And there is a large clutch of players that have never played in a final, but then you've got these six guys who are super experienced at the same time. So on paper, it's a great blend. It'll be interesting to see how the younger guys handle the occasion. Anyway, first final.
I love the fact that when Buddy arrived at the Swans, he squeezed a few players out, one of them being Shane Mumford. And I think he's just about the most important player for the Giants on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be a Swan if not for Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, big Sean Naismith, though. He's been outstanding.
They call him Crayfish.
Sean Ralph Smith, but yeah,
Crayfish is a nickname for him.
But some of his ruck work's been outstanding, hasn't it?
Well, the Swans haven't really had a tap ruckman in a long time.
Forever. Going back for Darren Jolly.
Yeah,
the last
huge
time.
That'll be a good game.
What do we think then?
I'm going to say Swans because how can you tip against them, really? But only just. I think it'll be a real tight game.
I'm going to tip the Giants. I think they're going to.
I just said, how can you do that?
Oh, quite easily. I think this is the upset of the round. Mm. Okay. Yourself, Hutto?
Oh, I'm extremely tempted to go with you. I'm a bit like Sammy. I'll go for the Swans, but I reckon I can mount arguments as to why the Giants will win. I think their forward line, while not the key, it has to function well. And I think Patton's been very good. Cameron played a more of a decoy role last time, and it'll be interesting to see whether they try how they set up the forward line, what Rory Lobb does. And then, of course, Devon Smith back into the team over the last month has been big. And he and Stevie J, and we know Green gets up and back as a connecting player and then putting pressure on. So, the more you talk about it, the more you start to think, well, they could do it.
And the best part for the AFL is qualifying final means it'll spit out a game in Sydney in every week of the finals. There'll be a spotless and an SCG final in the next 2 weeks, regardless of the results. Yep. So the league would be doing cartwheels. Gillen?
Yeah, well, the last one is Adelaide North. And Adelaide, this is still a pretty interesting game. Everyone pretty much written Adelaide off after that disastrous Friday night. But maybe they just had a bad night. Maybe they've learned a few things. They'll be appreciative of the week off, even though they would have been burning and probably keen to get out there as soon as possible. But if other teams have found them out a little bit in terms of how they've set up defensively, they'll have had some time to work it through.
Well, other teams, there's only two that have actually figured them out. I think West Coast and Geelong are the only sides to have beaten Adelaide. I think it's since round 7, 8, 9, early in the season anyway. The only two clubs to have done it. The blueprint is there so clearly. It's staring Brad Scott in the face. Mm. But knowing it and implementing it, as we found out, are two totally different things. I mean, it's not rocket science. You just got to keep the back door locked against Adelaide. Don't allow those over-the-back goals.
What sort of headspace are the Kangaroos flying over in? I mean, are they in rebuild mode? Mm. Does that thought cross their minds? All the families of these retiring superstars of this club are flying over, anticipating that it could be their last game. It just doesn't seem like the right way to enter September.
I just don't get that whole mentality that they've had in terms of that demand to know whether they're playing their last game, and so the families could. I mean, that turned out to be just a disaster. Oh. Mm. I don't get that.
Could write a book about that. Forget the Boomer
book. Like they did.
But, you know, I mean, it's a decision that said one thing, wasn't it? We can't win.
Yes.
But then they're turning around and saying, we've got to win. We've got to go deep.
And I would back there, again, the week off, I reckon if it wasn't the week off, they would have probably just rolled in. But I think that will have given them a little bit of time to steel themselves. Drew Petrie talked about how he wasn't in the right headspace in that last round. So maybe they've got some time and can get things together. I mean, the question really is whether they can physically beat them out there. If the ball gets on the outside, you know, the Crows can be so dynamic, and I'm not sure they can be.
And just getting back to on field, how many times have we seen it? The over-the-back goal square goals, they kick an insane amount of goals from about 10 metres out because they're just strolling into them. Betts, Walker, Lynch, all the rest of it. So North Melbourne, I'm assuming Scotty Thompson's back. We know that Tarrant is an elite interceptor as well.
Yep.
If they can set up a sweeper-style system, exactly like Geelong did with Harry Taylor, exactly like West Coast did with Jeremy McGovern.
And Barras. Barras took six intercept marks.
Well, you can at least give yourself a chance against Adelaide, force them to beat you another way, which they may very well do, but you can't have them getting goal side of you, streaking in, crowd gets up, it turns into a frenzy, and you're behind before you've even started.
This has danger on it for me. I think this could be a massive blowout. I think the Roos are just going to...
Could really hurt their percentage, do you think?
It'll be... it's got the potential, hasn't it?
Which is the best game, if you had to say it?
Geelong Hawks, come on.
Oh, I'll go the Battle of the Bridge, Sydney GWS.
Okay, no, I can't get past Friday night, I don't think.
Oh, it's just so great.
Key men in the first week of the finals, is there? If you had to look at a couple of players who are the key. I know we've sort of touched on it to a degree so far, but who comes to mind?
Sam Mitchell and stopping him. I think that's the key for Geelong on Friday night.
I almost think Josh Gibson and stopping him, because that's someone else that Geelong have to put some time in, as they did with Shane Kirsten earlier.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Shane Kirsten did the job really well in round one. So.
Did Kirsten come back in then, do you think? Or
just for this role?
Long odds.
Yep.
Well, Tom Hawkins is big too, I think, for the Cats. Not that he necessarily has to kick a big bag of goals, but for this final series, he's now of that age where he has to be a leader up forward. They have to get it all functioning correctly, and he's got to be huge in that game.
Yep. But John O'Giles on Thursday night. I mean, he did the job in round 23.
Can't do it again, can he?
Can't? Well, he's up against Jordan Ruffhead. I mean, it's not the most... it's certainly not the most glamorous ruck. matchup.
Certainly.
It's no catwalk. No. But Gilesy just wound the clock back. It was like the Giles when he first stormed onto the scene, GWS. So, look, he might be able to string a few together.
How many will Buddy kick? He'll play against Phil Davis, you presume. That's, they've always played against each other. Phil's done some pretty reasonable jobs on him over the time.
Kept into two in round 12 or whatever that was, and as the Giants had a win. So, yeah, if he kicks three or under, the Giants are running up to their eyeballs.
What about Saturday night then? Is it Eddie and Jenkins and those sort of blokes the danger? Have North got a weapon? Is Todd Goldstein, can he get back to his best in the ruck and get them first use? Or
always when or I watch Boomer? North Melbourne, I always look at two goals. Brent Harvey's one, Daniel Wells is the other one. Mm. They offer that class. They're the line breakers. They're the game breakers. They're the guys that get on the outside and actually hurt opposition sides. For as good as their in and under players, and Jack Siebel's had a great year as well. But forward line as well, we need Petrie to stand up. If you're a North fan, you need
Frank
Petrie
the Tank.
To stand up. Frank the Tank needs to be unleashed again. He's got to forget Home Depot and start chugging those beer bongs and get back into that form that won him the final a couple of years ago. And if Wade plays, boy oh boy, they need him to at least go some way towards recapturing the form for the first 10 rounds.
All eyes will be on Boomer. Imagine if he has 30 and kicks three and it's the last his last game in blue and white.
All right, well, that probably leads us into the latest on the trade front. Do you think Boomer will play on next year?
Oh, he's desperate to. I mean, I think it's the Bulldogs and Hawthorn. They're the two likely ones. Geelong would be a great fit. We've started to hear reports that maybe they're into Brett Delady or a similar sort of player.
They're definitely looking for that. They targeted Gary Rowan and thought they had him.
But it's the Scott factor. Can Boomer play for Brad's twin? I mean, it's a nice sideshow there.
I'd be surprised. I really would if Boomer got offered. Not whether he wants to or not, but if he actually gets an offer, I'd be pretty surprised.
I'd be surprised if it was Geelong, probably, but you know the Dogs well. Do you think there's any chance of the Dogs?
Oh, I think, I mean, that they're flush for that type of player. I mean, they've got blokes like Mitch Honeychurch, and who's not in the side, and Caleb Daniel. I think there's a lot of that player already, but in terms of experience and class, he is just what they need.
Well, and setting goals. Oh, I know you're saying those two can sort of do that, but Mitch isn't getting a game.
It would be officially the borrowed forward line if you got Cloak, Collingwood, Cramery, Essendon, Boyd, GWS, and Boomer North Melbourne running around at the kennel next year.
Well, who cares, though, if you think they can do it and you're pushing for a flag, and that leads you to your Is It Just Me, doesn't it, Sammy? Or
look,
Beacon Rewind?
My Beacon Rewind, actually. It concerns the Western Bulldogs. I think if they had their time over, well, no, they probably wouldn't change their mind, but I just feel the way they've handled this whole Matty Boyd, will he or won't he, to be shocking, actually. I'm really surprised. As a stark outsider, I've got obviously no links to the club, but I look at a guy, yes, he's 34. Who gives a toss if he's 34? He's one of their best defenders. He stood up when they've lost all and sundry back there. He's an All-Australian. They're in the window, supposedly. Mm. And they haven't offered him a contract yet. I find it absolutely staggering.
He actually used to play with Luke Beveridge. They were teammates at Frankston 15 years ago before he was rookie listed. And Bevo spoke after Boydie's 250th last year, saying he loves coaching him and he'd love him to stick around for a couple more years. So, and then Jason McCartney said before round one, I caught up with him before round one and asked him about the veterans. He said they will all be offered new deals depending on their form. Well, he'd suggest that all Australian form is pretty good form.
You'd like to hang on. Do you think he should get another contract then?
Well, I think they're in a really delicate situation in terms of their list. I mean, who comes off it? There's not many. They're not expecting a big list turnover. So
it can't be him. You can't just dump an All-Australian. Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, I couldn't think of one.
I mean, yeah. You can't. I mean, age. Look,
Did Leon Davis get All-Australian and then not play on?
That might be right.
He might be. He might be onto something there, Hutto. Question without notice.
But look, what will happen? I think he will get another deal. Yeah,
maybe you'd like to think they're just sorting a few. The eyes are in the fire with other players, comings and goings, knowing what they've got in the cap, all that stuff, whatever.
Could they dump him and then pick up Brent Harvey?
Jeez. Boyd, he thought he was done 2 years ago. I think if Brendan McCartney stayed, he would have been finished 2 years ago. So he's probably just been blessed to play the last 2 years. I think he'll get another deal, though.
Beacon Rewind for you, Hutto.
We'll get
question without notice.
Get to that in a moment.
Sammy Landsberger?
Haven't I done mine already? Not sure. Edit that bit out.
The bye.
The bye, yeah.
Yeah, the prelim farce if the qualifying finals get knocked over. That was
so
mine, Sammy.
My Is It Just Me was one way, and his Beacon Rewind was the same thing the other way.
Okay.
What else are we seeing on the trade front, boys?
Look, O'Meara, just checking in this morning with his people. Apparently still no decision made on what the next step is. Reece Conker the same. Travis Cloak, we wrote about in the Herald Sun last week.
How much interest in Reece Conker do you think out there? And what sort of level are we talking about of picks?
I heard Sydney being mentioned for Reece Conker. And I think that might have been made on the assumption that perhaps they lose Mitchell. And not a like-for-like replacement by any stretch, but that Conker might be headed up to Sydney.
The domino effect from Tom Mitchell on Jaeger is huge. It's unlikely that the Hawks can get Tom Mitchell and Jaeger. We expect they will get Mitchell.
They'll get one of them. I reckon Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be Mitchell, which then makes the Bombers a real, real big chance to get Jaeger for nothing.
So you think they would do it that way, or do you think they would give the Suns the chance to swap?
If Jaeger wants to play for Essendon, I don't think they'll trade for him. I think they'll get him for free in the preseason draft.
Wow.
Well, we know what Essendon are like at the trade table. They don't take
fun
any
to work with.
They don't take any prisoners. I reckon they'd have no hesitation taking him for nothing.
I think Callum Marchbank will be a Blue. Jack Steele, another Giant, most likely heading to St Kilda. And Hamish Hartlett's really interesting. I find this staggering. He signed a five-year deal 11 months ago, and now he's on the table.
Mm. Would he be happy to move? This is the question, obviously.
His manager said potential, didn't he?
North Melbourne came really, really hard at him last year. Probably, I'm not even sure if that got reported. But North Melbourne was really keen last year. I think he's an SA boy, signed the 5 years. And now I think we're hearing that Port Adelaide's pretty tight in the cap.
Yep.
So, yeah, fascinating to see how that plays out.
They want to do something with their list, Port. You've got to give up something, don't you? And it's maybe they think that, you know, they can't just hang around with this list forever and hope that it's going to all happen for them, and that's a way of getting a pick in. Could he be involved with a Richmond deal, do you think?
I'm hearing that's going to be a real clean swap just for pick six. I think the Suns have had a little bit of a look at the Tigers list, and there's not too much that appeals.
But they do need but could Hartlett go to the Gold Coast?
Well, that's the one being mooted potentially, yeah. Would you want to go there?
You're a Brisbane watcher.
Yeah.
Very, very passionate Brisbane watcher. You've done just about all their games this season.
Yeah. Passionate might not be the right
Josh
word.
Josh Green wants out, I'll read this morning as well. Would there be any interest for Josh Green?
Wouldn't have thought it'd be a lot. I mean, someone might put him on their list.
Mm. I think Essendon might. They've had a look at that type of player all year. I think they had a look at Ballantyne, Lachie Neal. Mm. I think they're a potential suitor.
Okay, and Ty Vickery, Hawthorne, but they might not be the only club that are sniffing around the big ruck forward. Wait and see what happens there.
Wow.
Mm. Well, who else do you think there?
Well, we'll just wait and see, Hutto.
Does that mean Carlton?
Not at liberty to say.
Does that mean Carlton's in the mix then, does it?
We re-signed,
Imagine Liam.
They re-signed Levi. There it is.
Liam.
Podcast goes by without mentioning
Liam Jones and Ty Vickery in the same forward line.
Two athletic animals. Really explosive beasts.
Oh dear. What about Michael Barlow? Is there any interest in him, do you think, from Victorian clubs?
Haven't heard him mentioned at all.
I think he's I don't think he's a top priority. I think if something happens with him, it'd be later on.
Okay. All right. Well, big finals week ahead, boys. It's going to be fantastic. Don't forget the Around the Ground special nostalgic look back at the old suburban grounds.
I think Princess Park is next, one of my favourites. That will shock you. Some great games and moments at that ground.
What's your old favourite ground? Is it the old...
I didn't get to too many. I was a little... The generation. Yeah.
He's got Tinder.
You've read books about it.
I've read Around the Grounds.
He's got the app. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so your tips for the weekend then. I know we've done it already, but just to summarise it.
In order for
all for West Coast.
Yes. All for West Coast.
All for Geelong.
For Geelong, comfortably.
Two for Sydney, one for GWS, and all for Adelaide.
Yes.
So pretty basic, pretty
boring.
Really.
Boring.
All right, North can get the Chockies over there.
You're going for North?
Yeah, come on. Let's make it different. I reckon they can get it done.
Dogs win if Liver plays. There you go.
All right. Very unbiased opinion here.
Yeah, that's shocking.
That's what this Super Footy podcast is all about. That's it. You can find us again next Monday afternoon, the Super Footy website, iTunes and SoundCloud. And don't forget, if you want to get involved at Superfooty on Twitter and use the hashtag TradeHQ with your comments and questions ahead of the next episode. Go well, everyone, and have a great final series coming up.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.